Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. In today's Holy Gospel, verse 34 of St. Luke chapter 13, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. This is God's word to us today. I find it interesting how certain cities get a label put on them to describe what that city is all about. For example, when you hear the name Las Vegas, what do you think of? Sin City, gambling, casinos. New York City, financial capital of the world, financial capital of America. Salt Lake City, Mormons, the holy city of the Mormons. Hollywood, movie capital of the world. Seattle. All kinds of thoughts of Seattle. If you're technologically oriented, you think of Microsoft headquarters in Seattle. If you're a coffee drinker, you think of Starbucks coming from Seattle. When Muslims hear the name of Mecca, they think of the holy city. When Roman Catholics hear the city of Rome, that's their holy city. And a lot of times at a Missouri Synod Lutheran Pastors Conference, we jokingly refer to St. Louis, where our denominational headquarters building is, as our Lutheran holy city. But if there's any city in the world that deserves the title, the holy city, that city would be Jerusalem. When King David conquered Jerusalem around the year 1000 BC, about 3,000 years ago, he made Jerusalem the capital of the nation of Israel. And then his son Solomon built the temple, the first temple there in Jerusalem, the famous Wailing Wall that we read about. We were in Israel one time and we were there at that Wailing Wall. It is one of the walls of the temple that was there when Jesus lived the first century AD. Today's Holy Gospel tells us of the time before Jesus came to Jerusalem when he actually wept over the city of Jerusalem, over this holy city, because of all that God had done for the city of Jerusalem for centuries, and yet the people of Jerusalem were more known for rejecting God and his word and killing the prophets. And Jesus knows that when he enters Jerusalem, that will be his fate as well. Just 2 weeks ago in our liturgical calendar, we observed the transfiguration of our Lord, where Jesus was glorified on that mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. And then St. Luke tells us that Jesus immediately came down from the mountain and set his face toward Jerusalem. And from chapter 9, verse 53 of Luke on to the culmination of the gospel, Jesus is headed towards Jerusalem. He refers to it as a city, not just a holy city, but a city that was known for killing the prophets and stoning those who were sent to it. Jesus, if you recall from your reading of the Bible or Sunday school or sermons, Jesus began his ministry in the northern province or county of Galilee. And it was up there, up in the north, where Jesus performed most of his miracles and did the majority of his teaching. And then after the transfiguration, he began walking down to Jerusalem to meet his fate, the fate that God had determined for him. Now, before he leaves Jerusalem, there comes a warning to him, a warning that King Herod, the same king who 3 years ago had murdered Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, that Herod wants to kill you, Jesus. He was warned. And what really makes this strange is that the warning to Jesus that Herod was out to kill him came from some Pharisees. The Pharisees were the strictest sect of Judaism. The Pharisees are usually pictured as the bad guys in the New Testament. They were the ones that Jesus had the most conflicts with when he got to Jerusalem. But here some Pharisees are warning Jesus. They're warning Jesus to keep him from being killed from King Herod. I think we all still today sometimes make the mistake of lumping people together in a category. Pharisees, they're all like that. Liberals, they're all like that. Conservatives, they're all like that. Midwesterners are like this. Oregonians are like that. And we tend to put people together in lumps and categories. Right now, it's easy for us to say the Russians are a cruel and heartless people. Well, the truth is that most Russians, because of Putin's blackout on news reports, most Russians probably don't even know what really is taking place in the Ukraine. One of the most poignant news reports that struck me in this war in Ukraine was when Ukrainian soldiers had killed a Russian soldier and went through his bodily possessions, they found his iPhone, and they saw the last text message he had sent before he was killed. And the last text message that he had sent was to his mother. And in it he said, "Mama, they told us the Ukrainians would welcome us with open arms, but instead they're shooting at us." We can't lump all Russians together in that kind of a category. Generalizations are just never true, because sooner or later you're going to meet somebody who just doesn't fit what people like that are like. And so it was Pharisees here, who were good people, who gave Jesus the warning that King Herod was out to kill him. If it sounds strange to hear that Pharisees were out to kill Jesus, it might sound even stranger to hear how Jesus reacted to that warning. You would think he would have said to them, "Oh, thank you so much for warning me. You saved my life. I'll get out of here as quickly as I can." No, Jesus was completely unfazed by the warning that Herod was after to kill him. Instead, Jesus said, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" Jesus knows that the course of his life is not in the hands of Herod. It's in the hands of his heavenly Father. And he knows that it is going to be in Jerusalem where he meets his death. And he also knows that his death will not come one day sooner than God ordains it to be. He is on God's time schedule, not on any human time schedule, not even Herod's time schedule. And look what Jesus calls Herod here. He calls him a fox. Herod the king thought that he was a lion, the king of the jungle. But Jesus calls him a fox. To the Jews, a fox was a sly, sneaky animal that was destructive and utterly worthless. And Jesus has the audacity, the raw courage to say to the king himself, "Give this message to Herod, that fox. I'll leave when I'm good and ready to leave, and not one day sooner." Herod's threats will not deter Jesus.